thoughtful that I made. Now we have Tim Johns, who's coming here from Dietetics and Human Nutrition. Tim.
Thank you. Within the context of my own research, I'm going to focus primarily on opportunities for students within field programs, specifically our efforts in Africa. But you can see three individuals there. The two on the right are not McGill students. The one on the left is a former McGill student, a participant in our field studies in Africa program. I'm an ethnobotanist, but a professor of human nutrition. Within an African context, which is only part of where I work, I've introduced you three sort of basic sort of approaches. One is a much more theoretical one. The other, the middle one, relates to how the work is done in the contemporary context, and then looking at it within the long-term application of the work. Why do I do this, and what are the basic underlying questions? Certainly what got me into being an ethnobotany is a question that people ask me all the time. You say you work on medicinal plants. Well, how did humans ever learn how to use medicinal plants? And if I tell you even more about what I've learned in such sophisticated ways. The answer to that is not something I'm going to tell you in 3 minutes, but what I'll tell you is that answer it has an evolutionary basis. And that really to understand that, you have to know something about food. Animals don't focus on medicines. They focus on getting their basic nutritional needs. And then in the course of that, dietary behaviors have evolved. I work with, and my students work with contemporary populations, such as Masai Pasuas here, a former student of mine, Megan Parker, in a project where we looked at anti-measles plants that were used in food, what you would think were medicines, added into food, into soups and medicines, and then ingested by children, such as this plant, Olinia rocketiana, which the Maasai would call Okereni. We do a lot of work in the laboratory, and this work was done in the lab of Brian Ward in the Montreal General Hospital. You see that top big line there, Okereni, that's the one that's most active against the virus. That's interesting. We compared plants that were used medicinally versus those we want, trees, and we can show the sophistication of the traditional healers in identifying these plants. In the real world, people who continue to live in this type of lifestyle, use plants in this way, have real life problems, face usually profound problems related to their economic well-being, to the environment. In a global context, the need to get your basic food needs versus the impact on the environment are tremendous. The overall perspective of this is working with small farmers, trying to balance the development versus the environment needs. That work has a lot of focus on traditional use of biodiversity, including a large project that we have at McGill funded by IDRC and the Canadian International Development Agency. The examples I've showed you so far have involved graduate students, but for undergraduates at McGill and for other students across Canada, we have the Canadian Field Studies in Africa program. I teach a course that covers some of the material that I've covered here. But we have a program that goes every year in the winter semester. Martine is right here. If you have questions after, address them to either her or me, and certainly information on the website will direct you to the people that are relevant for that. The itinerary is starting in January. We're pretty much full up, but I understand we do have room for one or two more students. If somebody wants to come in at the last minute, then we are still available to consider that. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. And I should mention the Africa Field Studies thing happens every year, okay, in January or so. So it's not like this last chance or your